This is Joe Francica of Directions Media. We will be speaking today with Dominic Bonte, Principal Analyst for Telematics and Navigation of ABI Research in London, England. ABI Research recently released a report stating that location-based platforms and infrastructure licensing revenues will reach $2.2 billion by the year 2013, a sizable growth from that of today, which ABI estimates at only $111 million. So we spoke to Mr. Bonte to get more information on the LBS infrastructure market specifically.
Okay, well, thanks, Dominic, for taking my call. I appreciate you spending some time with us on this topic today.
Okay, thank you for inviting me.
Sure. Let's start with the first question. So, based on the report that ABI released, maybe you can define the specific nature of the LBS infrastructure market and who the primary players are.
Sure. Indeed, it's important to define what we mean by LBS infrastructure because there's quite a bit of confusion when people talk about LBS infrastructure. The way we define it is as the three major building blocks carriers are deploying to support location-based services. The first building block is the MLC, the Mobile Location Center, which extracts location data from the network, either based on network measurement results or data acquired via dedicated cellular positioning determining technology, the well-known assisted GPS or uplink time of arrival. So that's the first important building block. Second building block, which in fact is often integrated into the first, is what we call PDE, positioning determining equipment. It's defined as a server-based solution designed to enable high-level cellular positioning accuracy. And it can be simply enhanced cell of origin technology, basically relates to the cell ID, the base station area. It can also, of course, be assisted GPS, and it can be uplink time difference of arrival, a multilateration technique based on the timing of signals received from the handsets. The third component is what we call the LES, the Location Enabling Server, which is responsible for authentication, authorization, and accounting. I would say the more administrative aspects of location-based services, and obviously links the infrastructure to the subscriber data. There are other components which are more linked to the end-user components and applications, GIS systems, content provisioning platforms, etc. So that's outside the scope of the infrastructure report we have recently published. When we look at who the primary players are, I think we can clearly see three market leaders. First of all, unsurprisingly, Nokia Siemens Networks and Ericsson, as the traditional network infrastructure vendors, have also been very active in selling their location-based infrastructure solutions. A third player is TCS Telecommunication Systems, which, while not being a traditional network infrastructure vendor, has been quite successful in having commercial agreements, especially with the smaller U.S. carriers. So in terms of deployment, in fact, they are top of the list, in fact, not necessarily in terms of revenue market share, but certainly in terms of deployments. Then next to the three big players, we have a number of smaller players. I think Andrews can be mentioned here, True Position, Redmi, Polaris Wireless, and OpenWave. I think that's kind of the major players. It's still quite a small ecosystem because the market, after all, is still quite small.
Right, and from the press release from the ABI report, I mean, that market is supposed to grow extremely rapidly. I mean, you have it from 111 million in this year to 2.2 billion. That's a phenomenal growth rate that is predicted. So maybe you could explain a little bit about the market drivers and whether there's going to be a pickup greater in the U.S. or Europe or Asia-Pac based on those market drivers.
Sure. And as you say, the infrastructure market is kind of a mirror, obviously, of the success of the end-user LBS application. So it's very important to see what the drivers are behind the end-user uptake. And I think we can certainly distinguish a number of important trends which are currently occurring. I think maybe the most important one is an increasing consumer awareness or increased user education about what LBS can do for them. We all know that LBS has been around for, well, nearly a decade, with, I think, towards the end of the 90s, the first experiments being carried out by carriers, unsuccessful at that time. But after all these trials, all these launches, I think consumers are starting to better understand what the benefits are of LBS. I think not in a small way, also stimulated by the popularity of navigation. People have become very familiar with anything related with location, navigation, GPS, so, and then they start to discover that LBS is much more about much more than mere navigation. A second important driver is, And that's where we start to see differences between the regions, is the availability of, obviously, the GPS handsets. Without good GPS handsets, there's no way of offering services. Obviously, the U.S., North America has been leading the way thanks to the E911 regulation, which made, but I can go into detail into that a bit later, but obviously there have been GPS handsets available in the U.S. for several years, which explains why LBS has been most popular in the U.S. However, we see that if you look at the Nokia, for instance, that the number of GPS handsets being launched in Europe is increasing very rapidly. So we expect that in the next 2 years, GPS handsets will be readily available also in Europe. And a similar trend is happening in Asia Pacific. Other important drivers, which are also regional different, is the availability of flat rate data plans, which obviously are needed for LBS services. There again, the U.S. has been leading the way, but similar to the availability of GPS handsets, we also see that a lot of European carriers are now making available affordable flat rate data plans. I think also important is the availability of mobile devices and handsets with very intuitive and user-friendly user interfaces. And I think it recently we've seen that with the launch of the iPhone, the GPS-enabled iPhone, that there has been quite a spectacular uptake of location-based applications by companies such as Wear, certain social location-based social networking vendors, etc. So it's clear that users want a very transparent and intuitive user interface. Other important factors are cross-network service interoperability. You don't want your service or your LBS service only to work when you want your still to have access to the same LBS services. Another important trend is the growing availability of bundled services, whereas previously LBS applications such as Friend Finder, location-based search, and many other applications were offered as standalone individual applications. They are now increasingly being bundled in overall packages. I think one example of that is what we call location-based mobile social networking solutions, which kind of combine Friend Finder, person tracking with location-based search and user-generated content, which brings these services together in a much more relevant context. And we see that these services might really become much more popular in that unifying framework than they have been previously as standalone products. But we also see it with, for instance, offboard navigation solutions, whereby companies try to open up their applications, allow them to interface with each other so that, again, the user can be offered a more seamless experience, for instance, by doing a location-based search and then seamlessly interfacing with the navigation application to actually receive turn-by-turn voice guidance. Another trend, I think, is the emergence of new form factors, because it's no longer only about handsets. We've seen several P&D vendors launch or announce, in some cases, connected P&Ds, which again will be a platform which will be suitable for LBS services. And even in the car environment, we've seen telematics applications which or tailored to the car environment, and which can be considered as LBS services. A final driver, and a very important one, we think, is the availability of open development platforms. In order to engage the whole location ecosystem and the third-party developers, it's very important that open platforms are available. And these can be distinguished on several levels. There are the typical location-based service application development platforms. I think Ulocate's Wear platform is a good example. At the same time, the handsets or the mobile devices themselves also have to be opened up to third-party developers. So smartphones or the smartphone category and the growth of that category will be very important in the future to further drive the uptake of LBS services. And again, I think the iPhone, although you can argue about the fact if it's really an open device or not, the fact is that it allows to a certain extent to develop applications. And we've seen recently that they have been very, very popular.
Yeah, you mentioned a number of factors there, and I think that's a really good summary of where we're coming in the market. And it's a good lead into my next question, which is in these open platforms and whether the adoption of the secure user plane location, the adoption of Supple is going to be very important, or it seems to be more important now than had been just recently. So maybe up until about a year ago, Supple really wasn't very widely adopted. So maybe you could go into that a little bit more detail, why that was such an important factor.
Yeah, sure. There is indeed a lot of discussion and talk about Supple, but maybe let me go back and give a brief historical overview how Supple came about. I think originally, and everything starts with the E911 emergency call regulation, which was imposed in the U.S., where what we call control plane location-based infrastructure was rolled out based on circuit-switched network technology and really geared towards extracting location from the position of the user and making that information available to the E911 call centers. So this was, in fact, a system geared towards providing services to third parties more than it was to actually allow the development of applications which were initiated by user events. The next step was the emergence of the user plane architecture, where indeed carriers wanted to go one step further and offer commercial LBS services to their customers. In an early phase, this was proprietary technology based on IP tunneling, but which allowed certainly for certain U.S. carriers to commercialize what we call client-side applications, allowing applications such as family tracking, friend finder, et cetera, et cetera. But obviously, as commercial end-user applications involve, by their very nature, personal data, the location of the end user, it was very important to make the transmission, the communication of that information, that location information, secure. So that was kind of the driver behind the Supple protocol, which was standardized as recently as June 2007 by the Open Mobile Alliance. And I think Nokia was one of the first handset vendors to support it. The 6110 Navigator and the N95 supported Supple already. And also all future handsets, at least that's what Nokia has stated, will also be supporting Supple. So Supple is indeed important to support the rollout of high-accuracy carrier-based LBS services. When we look at the regional spread of the uptake of Supple, we can see differences between Europe and the U.S. And ironically, where the U.S. has been leading the way with assisted GPS due to the E911, it seems to be rather Europe that now takes the lead in the rollout of Supple devices and Supple-based service for location-based infrastructure. And it's kind of natural as GPS-based devices are just hitting the market, and it's a great opportunity to, at the same time, already also support the Supple standard. Whereas in the United States, there's a lot of legacy handsets out there based on proprietary technology. So it may take a little bit longer in the United States before Supple will kind of replace these legacy devices. But it's, as I think in many areas of the mobile world, standardization is extremely important. So indeed, Supple is something we'll have to trigger. And I think to a certain extent, the uptake of Supple will be a very good measure for the willingness of carriers and handset vendors to seriously support the rollout of LBS applications in the future.
So that brings up some interesting discussion about maybe the business models that the carriers are employing if they're adopting, Supple protocol. It allows them to roll out, as you had said before, some of these packaged applications, which in a way kind of bypasses some of the problems we've had in the past with people raising awareness of privacy concerns. I mean, all of these things sort of have almost gone away in terms of the reticence and reluctance of the market to adopt LBS applications. So navigation was the first one we were very comfortable with navigating. Now we've bundled the Friend Finder. I mean, as you have said, all of these things are now being bundled, and we've kind of gotten past the point of some of the major concerns that we've had. Things are becoming cheaper, and so the business models are kind of falling into place, whereas before, I think there was some reticence on the part of people to adopt this. So the business models really are quite well in hand, and so it's just amazing to see the uptake that we've seen. And I wonder if you could maybe say, like, okay, now that we're in place here with these business models, what's next? What are the next business drivers? What are the other applications that we may see on the horizon, given the adoption of Supple, given the business models are in place?
Okay, that's exactly a very important question, because in the end it all comes down to end user services, and I think it's very interesting times when you look at the enormous amount of new launches. You can see them on a daily basis, and I think Directions Magazine is certainly one of the magazines that really plays an important role to communicate what's happening in the LBS space. I think probably one of the most important trends, as far as I can see, and I already mentioned it earlier in this discussion, is the emergence of location-based mobile social networking, taking social networking not only mobile, but making it on top of that location-based, which opens a whole new world of social networking, real-world social networking, bringing social networking back to face-to-face meetings and real socializing, compared to Facebook and MySpace, which were pretty much virtual friendships and relationships. And we've seen several companies. Looped has been around for a while, but there are other companies coming. Gypsy is an important one. Pelago with their Whirl solution. There is Wear, of course, with their Buddy Beacon. And as I said earlier, these social networking applications, in fact, don't invent anything new. They take everything that was available in terms of technology, in terms of handset user interfaces, friend finder applications, location-based search. But what they're actually adding to it is a context, make it relevant to the end user by bringing everything together. Because it's, as I said earlier, it's not about just doing a location-based search. It's about doing a search, discovering something interesting, wanting to share that with somebody else, maybe see if your friend is nearby, and maybe you can invite him to join you to actually enjoy the place of interest together. So it kind of ties everything together, and I think that's a very relevant thing. And I believe personally that, as I said earlier, that's probably going to be one of the major drivers behind the uptake of LBS. However, I think it's also important to realize it's not only a consumer thing. I'm sure that enterprises and corporations are also starting to look at the potential benefits of LBS in terms of asset tracking, workforce management, which potentially would allow them to reduce their costs, offer better customer service, and have more efficient operations, etc. So there again, that technology could be used. I think we've seen a renaissance of people tracking and child tracking more particularly, which has been around for a long time, but it seems again to now make people realize that this is very powerful technology. And some probably less well-known applications, but nevertheless, I think very significant, or for instance, software-based outdoor navigation. Many people have seen that Trimble Outdoors has been launched now on converged devices, essentially providing the same experience compared to the Garmin or the Magellan dedicated outdoor devices there. So that's another important evolution. We've seen also a number of launches in tourism applications. I regularly come across audio and video guide applications where, while walking or driving, automatically an audio clip or a video clip is started describing places of interest or touristic features, which is obviously potentially a very important market segment. And finally, I think, looking to the car environment, to the telematics applications, things like geofencing, speed monitoring, crash detection, and tracking, obviously, is also a possibility. There is a company that won the NASDAQ LBS challenge at the Mobile World Congress in Barcelona called UBEST, which in fact uses a Nokia N95 handset to kind of almost mimic all the features which are currently offered by OnStar. Because handsets are GPS-enabled, they are connected devices, they have accelerometers on board, so they actually have everything which allows to also have these telematics applications, which is another flavor, essentially, of the well-known LBS applications we've seen for a long time.
It seems like there's going to be a battle shaping up here between the P&D guys, the automotive industry, in wrestling for that market share. And you brought up an interesting point there about the telematics applications, because which is it going to be? Do you want something in your car that may be directly tied to gas efficiency and tire pressure and whatnot versus what you can carry around with you? So that's an interesting perspective, and it looks like we're setting up for a lot of competition.
Yeah, and that's healthy. The more competition, the better it is for the end user, because it would reduce prices, there would be more choice. At the same time, there is a potential threat that the LBS space might become too fragmented, whereby people have to buy the same application once for the handset, once for their connected P&D, and maybe once for their car, at least as far as telematics application will become open. I think Ford Sync is a first example of a relatively open environment. However, I think what the end user ideally would like is that the same application, the same user experience, the same user interface would be available of all these different hardware form factors. And as we slowly move towards more web-based applications, that becomes a real possibility, because there's no reason why you couldn't, or why software vendors couldn't, implement the application once on a handset, once on a connected P&D, because they become open devices too recently. And thirdly, in a telematics environment, which probably will take a little bit more time to materialize. But I do see a future where everything comes together, and we have a lot of choice in hardware form factors, and maybe people prefer to use their handsets in all the cases. Some other people want some more dedicated devices, like P&Ds for in-car navigation, and some other people want to take it one step further and have an integrated automotive environment. But what they really want is, in the end, being able to use the services they are familiar with and not having to learn how to use yet another application, because that's, I think, is what has held back a lot of the mobile industry in general, and more specifically the LBS industry.
It's true, and that kind of leads into one final question I've got, that with this competition in the market, and perhaps with some of the confusion between, what package do I buy, do I want to, duplicate the services that I've got on one device versus another, and maybe that presents a threat to the growth of the whole LBS market, and So maybe you could give a final summary on what you think the threats are and how it will shake out among some of the industry players.
Well, yeah, exactly. There is competition, and I think one of the big questions, of course, is what the role will be of carriers. I mean, our infrastructure report focuses on the infrastructure, the location-based infrastructure, which is rolled out by carriers. But we certainly see that a lot of third-party independent software developers roll out their own LBS applications based on smartphones and obviously using data connectivity, but not making use of any enhanced or assisted location possibilities. So that's one big question. I'm not sure that kind of competitiveness between, on one side, the carriers, and on the other side, independent service and software developers, is necessarily going to negatively influence the growth of LBS. I think you should look at it as that there's going to be a lot of choice. There will be independent solutions, which probably will be cheaper, but also will offer less quality. I mean, you only have to think about if you talk about autonomous GPS on hands, as you all know, there are issues with very long times to first fix. I mean, the iPhone has seen it too recently. There are problems with indoor coverage, whereas a fully carrier-supported solution, which uses all the capabilities of the network in terms of assistant GPS, helping to acquire a quicker fix and probably also helping to have better indoor coverage, which is very important for LBS services because a lot of these activities, of course, happen indoor. So I would say that ultimately the solution deployed by carriers would still be the most having the highest quality. But then again, maybe users will start with the independent solutions, which are very cheap, then realize that the quality is not what they want and move on to the more professional, I would call it, carrier-based services. Similarly, in telematics, there may be handset-based systems like Ford Sync, which obviously offers less reliability than a fully dedicated solution such as offered by OnStar. But then again, choice is good, and at least it allows many consumers to get to know applications without having to pay a lot of money, allowing them to get familiar, to get educated, and maybe representing a first step towards upgrading towards higher quality and more expensive solutions in the future. So I think it's very interesting, and I think that despite the big discussion between carriers and independent software developers, I think in the end it's going to wake up carriers in the first place that they have to be more proactive in launching LBS services and offering probably cheap data plans, et cetera, So I would see it as quite a positive situation currently.
Well, Dominic, thanks very much for your time. This has been a great discussion. I appreciate all the information. We've covered a wide range of topics, and I hope we can call on you in the future maybe to get some further insights.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us today on another Directions Media podcast. If you'd like to comment on today's interview, please write to us at editors@directionsmag.com or call us on our comment hotline at 206-984-4409. Thanks again, and be sure to tell a friend.